Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Living Your Life with Leanne Lang. A big thanks to Blast Podcast and John Milkey for helping keep this podcast technically up and running through this world pandemic. Speaking of this global shift in patterns, for months, I didn't spend a cent on gas. I had a tank that seriously lasted me almost 4 months. My credit card saw very few purchases. I wore the same outfit days at a time. The shampoo and the conditioner lasted a lot longer because, I mean, let's face it, I never really did my hair. And I rarely ate a meal that wasn't cooked and prepared in my home, which brings me to the totally absurd amount of money I spent on groceries. Never had I seen the bills look that way, or the fridge and the food disappear as fast as it came in. All meals were eaten at home, all snacks, late night snacks, bored eating snacks, emotional eating snacks, everything was part of our new normal. I have a family of four, two daughters. I can't imagine what the grocery bill was like for my friends with teenage sons. So while much of the stranded at home is behind us, we are still struggling with food, snacks, eating, budgeting, healthy foods, healthy snacks, and meal planning. I've brought in some help to give us some additional resources, tips, tricks, and inspiration. And she's even handing over her top 15 healthy Costco snack ideas. Melanie Reed is a mom of four, a registered holistic nutritionist, and the founder of Balance Plate Nutrition and the Balanced Mama Method. She had four kids in 8 years, struggled to bounce back, struggled to find her new sexy, and in time managed to find her way to optimize her time and the family schedule and their routine. And she truly does believe that it's possible to achieve your optimal health in a way that fits your current lifestyle while having simplicity, vitality, and balance. So Mel, so great to have you joining us. I'm excited we finally get to chat to each other.
Yes, so am I. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited. And I've often joked that I've been, you know, recording these podcasts from Andy's bedroom, but I think you take the cake because you're like, okay, I'm calling in from the mudroom. You're like buried in coats and like shoes. But it's the quietest room at this point.
It is. And I like came in a little bit before so to make sure that I could actually get the chair in so that I can sit because I had to kick shoes and jackets and book bags that are just, you know, have found a home here, but haven't been put away yet.
You know what? It's funny because I actually was cleaning out my mudroom too. And it was like taking out the snacks that had been sitting in there for like 3 months and books. And it's just part of what we're doing these days.
Yes, it's so true.
Okay. So how are you coping? You've got four. Give us the rages because you're busy.
So yes, I've got four, two boys, two girls. We are 4, 6, 10 and 13. So still hands-on for three of the kids on a pretty much day-to-day basis. The 13-year-old obviously still needs guidance and parenting, but she is much more self-sufficient than the other three.
Yeah, I've often said, you know, I'm feeling very lucky that at least I had you know, self-sufficient kids of ages during this, you know, at 12 and 15, you know, if I needed to, they could disappear to the room for the entire day. And if they wanted to, they could come and hang with us. So, you know, we've all gone through this experience in very different ways. And some people too have experienced that they haven't had financial hardships. Some have, some are going through the stress of work, some aren't. I mean, how are you and Pat making it through?
So, how are we making it through? Wine, vodka. The days are super long. Like, I won't lie, they are long. We try and get up before the kids to get some work done. Then obviously the kids are up trying to navigate their on class Zoom calls, their Google Meets, their this project, this homework assignment, and still have some time for both of us to work, right? For Pat to grow his online business, for me to work with my clients online as well. So we find that our days have gotten longer. I am busier now than when the kids were in school. because the day starts at 5 or 6 and goes till midnight.
Oh, oh my God, that's early.
Because that's really the only time that's actually quiet. And I'm not begging somebody or bribing somebody to be quiet.
So for you, I mean, did you resonate with what I was saying at the beginning? You know, I found some expenses really went down. Like, it was like, wow, we're not spending money here. But, and I'm sure you've heard this from a lot of your clients, like the food bill, the groceries, everything. It's just, it's the only thing that we have to do and keep ourselves busy. And so many people are spending that money on food.
Agreed. It is, you know, I was joking, but not at all joking, that my kids need to find their school stomachs, because like they have just been eating so much more food than they eat when they're going to school. And they would come home sometimes with stuff in their lunch. I'm like, how did you survive all day not eating your whole lunch? And now it's like, can I have a snack? And I said, well, why don't we just have breakfast? Well, no, I want a snack first. Then I'll have breakfast. Then I'll have another snack. It's so yes, like you, the gas has been non-existent. Obviously, activities, going away for tournaments for the kids, none of that is happening anymore. But the bulk of our expenses are all on our groceries. And every week we come home and I'm like, why did we spend so much money? But then the fridge is empty, right? The food is getting consumed.
Mm-hmm. So. I love that. I'm going to use that one. Your school stomachs. Mm-hmm. That is so true. And I, you know, we spend a lot of time putting the lunches together, and they do, they come home with, well, usually like the fancy treats are gone, but the healthy treats remain. But it's true. Like, they would go through much of the day, sometimes, you know, not eating everything that we sent, and yet they're eating so much more. Is it, you know, I'm going to say they're in the house, they're by the kitchen. It's just a constant reminder that there's food somewhere, if you're lucky, you know?
Yeah, there's a constant reminder. And like, we really aren't leaving our house. We go for a walk as a family. We do physical movement every day. We run them through combines. We do obstacle courses. We keep them physically busy, but they are still within the confines of our house and or our street. So you're never far from the ability to eat.
Okay. So let's hit like hard on this topic. What have you heard mostly from your clients? What has been the biggest struggle for a lot of people that you've been hearing about?
I think the biggest struggle has been really, what can I eat / prepare that's going to last for myself and or my family? Because most of my clients are still working, so they are trying to balance their workday from home, and for the ones that have younger children, also balance their family. So it's, what can I cook and prepare that still helps me reach my goals, but now I really need 4 people to all be on the same page and eating exactly the same way, as opposed to when the kids are in school, you're for sure packing them a different lunch than what you would be packing for yourself, because you're likely taking leftovers. So that's been the biggest question and discussion that I've been having.
Okay, you right in that answer, you use the word balanced. And so that brings us to even the company name. Like, for you, it became, you know, both of the titles for the work that you do are in there, right? Balanced Plate Nutrition, Balanced Mama Method. Yeah. So why was that word so critical for you, like in establishing this business, in becoming a holistic nutritionist, that seemed to be the critical word for you?
Yes. So for me, it's because balance doesn't exist the way we think of it. It exists. It's different for everybody. So what I see as balance in my family at this particular time in our lives is totally different than balance that exists for you as a mom with older children. So for me, balance was really, really fluid, but also something that I felt that we could achieve individually within everyone's own constraints. So the balanced mama isn't about all having the same balance. It's the balance that works for your family or for you as an individual.
Where was the passion for you in coming into this area, or, you know, into this bracket of health and wellness, that it was the food component that had interested you the most?
I think it really started when I got pregnant for the first time. I had a miscarriage prior to my daughter, who's 13 now. And so really trying to optimize my health and my fertility in my body is really what led me down this path. I started working with a naturopath to get things rebalanced, to get hormones, to get my eating on track. And it really just flourished from that. And seeing how food can heal and can help rebalance, like, it was eye-opening and just pushed me in that direction where it just became almost second nature. Now, also having Pat be a professional athlete at the time, nutrition was really important, but we didn't, like, we weren't doing it right. We thought we were, but it was only through this process that we realized that there were some really fundamental changes that we could make that weren't massive, but had a massive impact.
You know, and you say heal, right? I mean, your body would have gone through the trauma of the miscarriage. So I'm mm-hmm. so sorry to hear that. But now knowing you have this family of four incredible, like, superstars, I know that there's gratitude there. But did you feel the shift in your body from even before you started to try to conceive again of what the body needed to do to kind of be at a place where you felt it was ready to accept and to try again?
Oh my gosh, yes. Like, things like, I didn't know that it wasn't supposed to, like, hurt when I walked, that my abdomen wasn't supposed to feel crampy all the time, I could have cycles that were normal and I wasn't crippled with pain. And I shouldn't say normal, because everybody's cycles are normal, but that weren't painful, that were easy, and like just seeing those changes that happened, it like my body was just at a place where it's like, okay, we can do this now and we can like maintain a pregnancy. But like, well, it went fast. Like, that took a year. Before I was pregnant again.
Can I ask what changes you made? Like, what were the foods you dropped or things you added? Like, what did that entail in the first time around when you were trying it for yourself before even becoming educated and knowing how to do this professionally?
So the first time I was following the instruction of my naturopath. So for me, that meant removing dairy, which was huge because it's everywhere and it's delicious. And 13, I guess almost 14 years ago, there weren't as many alternatives to dairy that actually tasted decent. So removing dairy, I added a ton of supplements, very specific supplements to help regulate my cycle and my hormones. And we also increased things like leafy greens, which is simple, but I wasn't eating a lot of them, right? I grew up in a family, my parents are from Barbados, so I grew up eating food that was prepared at home, but we didn't have a lot of leafy greens. We had other vegetables, but those weren't part of it. So supplementation, removal of specific foods, the big one for me that was the most challenging was definitely the dairy, and then adding different foods into the mix.
So once you go through this experience on your own, and as you mentioned, it took a year, what then were you looking forward to in taking this course and realizing that it had made such an impact on you that you wanted to then learn about this and be able to help others?
I originally went into it just wanting to learn for me and my family. Like, I just wanted to make good choices, be able to support Pat in his professional football career, and really ensure that my kids were well nourished and obviously well fed. And that's where it started. And then as I got into it and finished the program and was deciding, like, is this all I want to do with it? And people would be asking me, well, like, could you help me? Could you explain this? And it's just a natural thing, right? Everybody eats. So food is always a topic for conversation. So it would very easily flow into a conversation about, like, something they're struggling with. And then, you know, Pat opened the gym. And so it just kind of all fell into place. Like, well, this would be a really good avenue It supports my desire. I like to serve. I like to help people. I love to interact with people. So it just all kind of melded really well together.
Okay, so as you're taking this course, because I think, you know, as you mentioned, it was really for you and your family, but what did you, what intrigued you the most of the topics or the things that you were learning?
Oh, gosh, there was so much. Like, I think back, because that would have been, Peyton was 18 months when I started. So there was so much. I can't even say that, like, there was one, because I would come home and be like, did you know this? And I'd rattle something off that I'd learned that day. Gosh, yeah, there's so many things I couldn't pinpoint exactly what particular part. But I remember sitting in one of our classes one time thinking, I could teach this. Not like I could teach it because I know, but I'm like, I could relay this information the same way we have teachers up here. And that kind of was the catalyst to continuing after I had graduated. But, you know, again, nothing comes easy. It was a super stressful time trying to care for a young family. Kaya, I think, was 3 or 4. Peyton was 1.5 years. I started doing this full time.
And you still had 2 more pregnancies in you.
I did. And then all of that. And then right at the end, when I'm getting ready to kind of defend my position and present my case studies, I developed Bell's palsy. Just, it was like, oh my gosh, I had so much going on because truth be told is although I was learning and making changes, I was still really pushing myself. And I wasn't supporting myself in a way, I wasn't supporting myself nutritionally in a way that my body was able to keep pushing, right, to that nth degree. Because I had 2 young children, one of them was still not sleeping through the night. So then I'm up with him, I'm trying to study, I'm trying to do mom, you know, you're trying to do all of the things. And so then that was a wake up call that, you know, I need to really take care of my health. And be cognizant of what my body tells me instead of always pushing through. Cause I'm prone to just like suck it up buttercup and off we go.
The Bell's palsy, if for people who aren't familiar, what happened and how did that affect you?
So it started for me with, like a sore ear. I thought maybe I had gotten a bite on my ear cause it was end of May. When it started, and then it's got worse. So I went to the doctor and said, like, either I have a bite or I have an ear infection. They checked my ear. Everything looked fine. So left it. It progressed to the point where I couldn't touch my ear, laying on that side was really painful. Went back to the doctor. Nope. Everything looks good. It looks a little bit inflamed, but there's definitely no infection there. So then fast forward a week, Pat and I are out celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary. And we rented a room at the Arc because that's where we stayed after our wedding. And he made some joke and I laughed and his face changed. And so I said, what is wrong? And he's like, smile. And I smile and he goes, go look in the mirror. And half of my face just wasn't moving. Like it was totally frozen. Immediately we thought I was having a stroke. So we got in the car and drove to the hospital and went in, they assessed me, said, okay, you're not having a stroke. We'll put you in a room. And a doctor came in to see me. And oh my gosh, the worst bedside manner. The doctor says to me, you know, Chrétien? And I said, yeah. He says, you have what he has. And I remember thinking, what a terrible way to deliver the news to me because he has a permanent palsy on his face. So that was devastating. It was really hard. The time immediately after was quite challenging because although I hadn't lost any mental faculties, my speech was extremely slurred. I couldn't close my eye at all. I had to tape my eyes shut at night. But when I would go out and try to talk to people, people instinctively spoke to me louder. Like, I didn't understand because I was having difficulty speaking. So it was really interesting the way people responded to the way my face looked and the way I sounded. So we spent a lot of time doing every single possible rehab that was available in the city to improve the situation. And it, like, it has come a long way. I know, Leanne, you know, I still suffer from some weakness. I'm like the 1% of the population that doesn't have a full recovery. I will continue to need drops in my eyes for the rest of my life, but for all intents and purposes, I appear to be symmetrical in my face. So that was kind of like another instance where I understood the power of what you eat and what you don't eat, and how it can support your body, both positive and negative.
Absolutely. I mean, and people are listening to you right now, and the speech is quite understandable and quite informative. So I love this story, but I love the power of knowing that you can heal, that you can nourish based on the food that you're putting into the system. So at this point, you've got you have your recovery, you have the fact that you've got two young kids, but what shifted then in that you invested in yourself as much as what you were learning and then started to implement and realize that you could do and share this with others?
I think it was just, I took those as signs. There's a reason this is happening. Right? It's not for me to keep it to myself, to keep it only to my family. It was to be able to demonstrate, be a living demonstration for what's possible when you make changes. So, and again, I think it comes back to I like teaching. I wanted to be a teacher. When I was going through elementary school, I wanted to be a teacher. And get into teacher's college. So then I went into psychology and biology. So the teaching has always been something that I've enjoyed. So the two just, at that point, it became a no-brainer. I wasn't willing to kind of return to the old life. And I knew the information, like people needed the information because we've been so conditioned by the food industry on what is healthy, what is good for us, the types of food that we should be buying versus what we should actually be buying, that it just became necessary for me to do this.
Okay. So let's get to some of this. Okay. What for you is essential? You're going through the grocery store. What's the essential? What are your top purchases?
Fruits and vegetables, regardless of what they are, fresh or frozen. Frozen vegetables get a bad rap because people see them as less than, or you only buy frozen vegetables if you don't have enough money to spend on fresh vegetables. But frozen vegetables are just as good because they get flash frozen kind of at the height or at the peak of freshness and ripeness, right? So any kinds of fruits and vegetables, fresh or frozen. Now, if you're getting canned fruit that's soaking in syrup,
that doesn't count.
That doesn't count. So that is dessert. And that's fine if you want to have it, but don't think of it as a fruit that you're consuming. Think of it as a dessert that you're having. So fruits and vegetables, and then protein. We are a omnivore family. We eat animal protein. So any type of animal protein, if that is how you eat, if not, and you're looking for plant-based protein, you need to have protein in your diet. Especially women, we tend to not eat enough protein. Protein is really, really important. So you will always find salmon. We eat salmon, chicken, beef. We don't eat a lot of pork. That's a personal preference. But basically, any animal protein, we will have that. And then lots of good sources of fat. So that's the other big one that, especially for women, we tend to want to avoid. And I would say men as well, because for the longest while, fat is bad. everything is low fat. So you need to eat low fat yogurt and low fat cottage cheese and low fat cheese. Fat is super important. It's super important for children, for their eyes, for their nervous system development, for their brain. Fat is also really important for your sex hormones. So if you like having sex, you need to make sure that you have adequate fat in your diet. So things like avocado, avocado oil, butter, coconut oil, olive oil. And if you're looking for the oils, nuts and seeds, pumpkin seeds, cashews, almonds, flax seeds, chia seeds, all of those are always 100% in my cupboards at any time.
Okay, wait, I remember us having a conversation that you loved finding recipes that required the use of butter.
Yes.
You know, like, and let's go through that, because when we were growing up, we went through, we were in that generation that fat was bad.
Yeah.
And then we got sold on this margarine, which yeah. I look back on those days going, how did that happen? Right. But you, I know, are a big supporter of cooking with butter.
Yes. So we go through a pound of butter a week, which is a lot of butter. I put it in just about everything I cook with. I put it in oatmeal. We use it as a base for cooking our eggs.
Okay. So tell me why for you, like why is butter on that list for you?
Yeah. So, butter, like coconut oil, is considered a medium chain triglyceride. So, it's good for heart health. It's good for hormonal health. It's a good quality fat. It's not like, a trans fat. It is a saturated fat, but it is a good saturated fat. So like the fat you would find in a grass-fed beef, saturated fat isn't beef. The big thing is that too much saturated fat isn't good for your heart. It's not good for your body, because your body actually makes 80% of the saturated fat that exists. Your body makes it. So the, thought is that you don't need to add any saturated fat, but saturated fat from sources like butter, grass-fed beef are all good sources of saturated fat, and also have higher levels of omegas, which are also really, really important, because your body can't make those on their own. So that's why we use butter in place of almost anything else, followed by probably it's butter, then avocado oil, olive oil for like salads, dressings and whatnot. And then of course, coconut oil for when we're making popcorn.
Okay. We talked. So anyone who's followed me on my social media, has seen my posts about my popcorn, and I have always given Mel full credit that I got this recipe from her. And let me tell you, there's like at least 10 family friends of mine that are using this recipe now. And I don't know how many people took it from social, but it really was. It was having the base of the coconut oil, cold pressed coconut oil as the base with a little bit of salt, and popping it from there. And it has been our favorite treat. And it honestly tastes like buttered popcorn.
Yes, it does. You don't need to add anything to it. And it, like, you cook it on your stove, it's quick. And I know corn gets a bad rap because corn is being used as a filler in so many, I'm going to say foods with air italics, that we are being overexposed to corn, and it can be inflammatory. So, you know, corn of itself, are you eating too much corn if you're having popcorn? I would say no. If you're having corn with every single meal, like a corn product with every single meal, well, then you might want to consider, you know, swapping that out. But corn and popcorn as well is really high in fiber. Fiber is really, really important. So, you know, if you're not getting enough fiber from, say, vegetables or fruits, and you're having some popcorn, a couple cups of popcorn, well, then you're getting some additional fiber, which is also really good for the body.
Okay. Is there a difference, though, to the type of popcorn? And I don't want to throw, like, products or name brands out there. But, you know, some kernels look different than others.
They do.
Is that me being politically correct there?
Some kernels do look different than others, and some kernels pop different than others. I wouldn't suggest getting with an unnamed brand versus a named brand. That is going to give you a better quality popcorn. And then if budget allows, an organic popcorn is going to be like the top echelon, right? So it would be organic popcorn followed by a name brand popcorn followed by an unnamed brand popcorn.
Yeah. And it was interesting because I did switch to the organic because I realized that it was going through less of a process and it did, it popped differently. It didn't have like that crazy fluff feel that you'd get from that top name brand, but I felt way better about the purchase of it. And I felt way better serving it to the kids and telling them to eat as much as they needed.
Yes. And that's it, right? There's always a trade-off. I can tell you personally, we do not eat a lot of organic based products. There are some products that we will always eat organic, but there are others that I will never buy organic because it's expensive and it's unnecessary. And it's like, yeah, you choose your battles. Like where does it make sense for me to spend my grocery dollars getting a plethora of fruits and vegetables so we have variety and you're not always eating the same fruits and vegetables, or that we have a couple organic vegetables?
So if you had to choose, what are your ones that you pass on and what are the ones you pick on? That you pass on certain organics or you choose organic?
So really the only organics that I will choose are berries, like consistently, because you eat the berry, right? You eat, there's no skin to protect it. You can't wash it. You can't, it's the berry in your mouth. So berries, I will choose organic, but like bananas, mango, melons. I just washed all of our fruit and have always washed all of our fruit in soap and water. That's it. Whether it's a watermelon, whether it's a honeydew melon, everything gets washed in soap and water. If I'm going to be cutting it and peeling off that skin, I just want to make sure that the surface has been cleaned so I'm not cutting it into the flesh, like whatever's on it into the flesh. But other than that, it's just berries.
Soap and water, huh?
Yeah, soap and water since...
Wow. I'm lucky if I put it under the tap. So that's good to know. Soap and water. Okay. So you're talking about some of these purchases and I'm looking at the time because I wanted to get through a checklist of things. We're going shopping at Costco. You've got a family of six that you're feeding.
Yes.
And I saw this blog post that you had on there. So I don't know if you have it with you or let's go through, but when you're going through those aisles at Costco, it can be incredibly enticing to pick up new snacks, new frozen foods, new everything. But what did you find was the most beneficial? And I know it was like your healthy snack kind of going through the aisles at Costco to pick up.
Yeah. And so I do that like once a year because Costco adds new things. And although it is a big box store, you know, you feel like you're not getting local, you're not supporting your local industries. We hit farmers markets all summer, but in the winter, we're in Ottawa, right? You don't have access to fresh fruits and vegetables. Costco is your next best bet, especially if you want to buy in bulk. Now, like in all stores, they don't necessarily have the best prices on everything all the time, but there are a few that we will always get. So one is the avocado oil. Always, always, always. They have coconut sugar and coconut smile. So they're like shavings of coconut that you can eat as chips or just as a snack. You can add them to a nut mix to make your own trail mix. I add them into smoothies. Like there's so many options for the coconut. Dates. So dates is another great way, healthy option for sweetening smoothies instead of putting in, if you add sugar, or if you use a sweetened protein, you could get rid of the sweetened protein, use an unsweetened protein and just sweeten your shake with dates. Also great for snacks after the kids or yourself has done any sort of physical activity. Pumpkin seeds. They have a lot of nuts at Costco and most of them are organic. What else? Flaxseed. That's one of the staples that's always in our house. You can get that at Costco. Chia seeds. Almond butter, if you are a nut butter fan. Kombucha. Ah.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
You can't do kombucha?
Nope.
Oh, nope. Leanne. So kombucha is great. They've got a gluten-free frozen pizza, which is lovely. Salmon. Frozen salmon, because we also can't get fresh wild salmon year-round, but they always have frozen wild salmon, which is the best kind of salmon that you can be eating. Lots of frozen vegetables, again, mostly organic. They started selling now frozen zucchini spirals. Amazing. So there's no reason not to eat healthy. Again, we talked about the fact that you can get just about anything frozen. So if you like zucchini and you love using zucchini as your pasta, you can get the spirals in a pack of six at Costco. They have frozen sliced avocados. Like, they are really entering the healthy food arena, which is good.
Did I get through most of that list? You had a couple of other, like, whether cracker choices or snack.
Oh, yeah, I can keep going. So we've got coconut water, which is a really good alternative to Gatorade, Powerade for your entire family. It's extremely hydrating, very refreshing, and this one has no added sugar. There's greens, there's the mini guacamoles. They've got sliced chicken or turkey breast. Again, an easy way to make sure you're getting that protein. You can throw it in a sandwich, on a salad. You can just grab it and eat it. It's already cooked. They've got cauliflower mash. They've also got some really good prepared meals, which is like has a protein, a fat, and a carbohydrate. That's what you need. And I think we've covered it all.
I want to go back to that, because I think when we go through the services, especially with you and families, the meal planning is a big part of what you do. Yes. And as I'm listening to you right now, I'm going, well, if that was the case, it sounds like I'd be doing a lot of shopping in a bigger bulk than I probably am doing. And the way you're describing the things that you like purchasing.
Yes, you buy in bulk, but obviously they get used over the course of a long time, right? And they are things that we use on a daily basis. But when it comes to meal planning, I like to keep it simple, because simple is for life, fancy is for fun. So you can easily meal plan around those things if you're just buying some protein, right? Like, any way you like it. If you like it baked, grilled, sauteed, like, there's so many options on how you can cook your meat. You just want to cook enough for more than one meal. You cook once, eat twice. So if you would normally have four chicken breasts at a dinner, you cook eight. You cook them, you keep them in the fridge, and then they can become sandwiches. They can be shredded into chicken salad. They can go on top of a regular salad. Like, that has now made three meals, but it is literally the same amount of effort for you to cook eight chicken breasts as it is to cook four chicken breasts, right? And then throwing in a vegetable, we try and do a 3-day rotation, so we won't have the same vegetable for 3 days in a row. And it's really just to have variety, open up the palate, and to make sure that you're getting the rainbow and getting a full complement of vitamins and minerals.
What would be your rotation then, especially with young kids at home? What's the rotation?
So our rotation is, everybody loves cucumber, so cucumber always is the start, so that they get that the most off it. We do cucumber and peppers, then we'll do carrots and broccoli, then we'll do asparagus, and this is when it gets a little bit more challenging, because some people don't like asparagus, some people don't like baby carrots, they like the long carrots. So then the day I do asparagus, they get to choose a vegetable, and then we just start over.
And Okay, because you mentioned the baby carrots. I have stayed away from baby carrots for a long time, Mel, just because I found that they, and I don't know if in talking to other nutritionists or other people, it's just that those seem to be loaded with sugar. And so I stopped purchasing them. What's your take on that?
So baby carrots don't have added sugar. Like, they don't add sugar to the carrots. It's a variety of carrot that is naturally sweeter. It's kind of like comparing a Granny Smith apple to are they called Prince or Honeycrisp apple, right? They're both apples. One is just a sweeter variety of apple. It's not that they've added more sugar to the Honeycrisp apple.
So all of these baby carrots, they're still safe to... It's funny, I haven't purchased baby carrots in a long time.
So I think the biggest controversy around baby carrots was that they peel them by sticking them in bleach. And that's how they get them smooth on the outside and don't have any skin. I don't know that they do that. but I haven't... It hasn't prevented me from feeding it to myself and to the kids.
Okay. So you're using them.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's your 3-day rotation on vegetables.
Like for the winter. And mm-hmm. then when, now that we're into the nicer weather, we have a garden in the back. And so we've got beans and we've got sugar snap peas, which they love. They just won't eat the outside. They only eat the inside. I don't know why. So those all get thrown in and we usually have a salad. The kids really like salad only because we put them out, right? We put it on the table. They see us eating it. They don't have to have a salad, but they have to have vegetables. And that's the extent of it. Like, it's really not super complicated. You know, I'll do lasagna. We'll do spaghetti. Obviously, those things are delicious. We just try and make swaps where we can. So for shepherd's pie, I'll use a sweet potato instead of white potato. Just because we get a lot of other, like, white rice. They don't like brown rice, so we just eat white rice. So, right, we make those swaps not to vilify potatoes because they are high in vitamin B, like white potatoes. But we'll swap out with a sweet potato because we know that's high in beta carotene and that's good for your eyes and all sorts of other things. So it's just making those swaps where they make sense. And just try and keep it as simple as possible.
So right now we're heading into summer. There's summer snacking. There's summer treats. Where do you think people should invest in? Or what would you be your top kind of top selection of things over the next couple months to be able to? Because the kids, right, we're still not having them full days in camp. We're still like they're kind of still running in and out of homes, going to be snacking. What would you like to see people have on the ready?
So on the ready, I guess, you know, depending on the age of their kids, if their kids are like 10 and under, granola bars, they are easy. They're quick. I wouldn't suggest like the Quaker granola bars, which is full of sugar. But am I allowed to say what types? Like, can I say brands?
Okay. At this point, I'm trying to help people get through the summer.
Okay. So Made Good is a brand of bar that I love. We eat it. I suggest it all the time because they actually have a serving of vegetables in the granola bar, which is amazing. And they still taste delicious. And they have all sorts of different flavors that you ought to be able to find one that your kids like. And they also carry them at Costco. So, like, bonus. And at Costco, I think they work out to like 50 cents a bar. So you really can't go wrong. So granola bars, they're easy. You can grab them and throw them in backpacks and in your purse. Obviously fresh fruit, like that is always, to me, that's unlimited. If your kids want to eat fruit, let them eat fruit. It has lots of fiber. It's got like lots of vitamins and minerals. Fruit should always be on hand and always available. And then, you know, making sure that they're not just snacking on like the empty calories. So like the cookies, but if you want to have cookies, make them. we're home, we can carve out 30 minutes to make cookies. I will tell you, my kids have cookies, but they're cookies that we spend time making, because then you can add into them things like some ground flax. You add a tablespoon or two of ground flax into your cookie, it's not going to change the taste of the cookie, but you've now upped the fat content. If you're going to make cookies, use butter instead of margarine. So those types of swaps are super easy. And I think we hear this all the time, but having cut vegetables available, if it's easy to grab, people will grab it, because if that's all they've got to eat, then they're going to grab it. So having cut vegetables available, unlimited fruit, granola bars, or other, like they also have granola balls, Made Good Company. They have quite a few products, and they are all very tasty. They just came recently out with a soft, chewy mini cookie. Oh my gosh. so delicious. And then the other big thing in the summer is smoothies. You can pack so much nutrition into a smoothie and still have it taste delicious that, you can hide stuff that your kids don't like, or even stuff that you might not want to eat. If you put it in a smoothie, you're good to go.
So what are you throwing in there?
So we usually have spinach as a base for the kids, because kale is a little bit strong. Spinach or a soft lettuce, like a Boston lettuce, as a great base. Either a tablespoon of flax or a tablespoon of chia. You don't need both. Then half a cup of whatever fruit, whether it's berries, bananas, and protein powder. And we use oat milk to make it a little bit thicker, and that's it.
But you so could, that like, would be your that would be your go-to. What about the frozen treats? Do you do popsicles? Do you do made like homemade popsicles? You know, they're looking for something that's going to kind of bring them down. I don't know. That seems to be a popular one at my place.
Yeah. So we will do popsicles. I no longer make popsicles because it's just not worth my effort. So we don't make popsicles. I will buy popsicles. The kids are limited. We really work off of a one day a week for like desserts and treats of that type. So Sundays is kind of a free for all in terms of desserts. The kids can order anything they want for desserts. If they want donuts, we go buy donuts. If they want gel, whatever, like unless it's something that sounds really gross. If not, we go ahead and do it. So we really limit it to that day. And same with popsicles. We just try and limit what they're consuming. Now, like, don't get me wrong. We still have treats and we still enjoy them. We just don't make them a daily occurrence.
Yeah, I didn't grow up on dessert.
No, neither did
I. So I didn't grow up on it. So it just was never kind of really thought of. And it's always funny when I have dinner company, because I tend to usually forget that there needs to be a dessert at the end. It's just, you know, it's how we're brought up, right? Other households, it's like you have dinner and then you stay around and there's always going to be dessert. It's I find with a lot of those things, it's how you were brought up is the habit you tend to get into.
Yes. And it kind of got born at our house. The dessert we have it on Sundays is that my kids had been over to friends' houses, you know, and they had desserts. And so, well, how come we don't have desserts? And so I said, well, okay. Mommy never grew up on dessert. Neither did Pat. But we can make it work in our family. So we chose one day a week and we chose Sunday as the day for desserts. And it works. And the kids really look forward to it.
Now, there have been a lot of people over the course of the last couple of months that have done a lot of emotional eating and the board eating. So how do you distinguish between the two when you have the kids that are running in or in the kitchen because they're bored, or people that are working from home and constantly finding themselves in the kitchen because they're bored? Like, what do you say to those clients, or how do you cope with that? Because I think that still is probably ranking up there as something that people are affected by.
Mm-hmm. That's always such a hard one to tackle. When I speak to my clients, when we talk about being bored, it's usually a habit. So, you know, I'll say, give me a typical day. And it's, Well, after dinner, we sit down on the couch, we start watching TV, and we grab whatever their thing is. So if it's a bag of chips, are you actually hungry at that point? Well, no, but it's just habit. If I don't do it, then I feel hungry. So it's for bored eating, kind of determining, is it actually that you're bored, or is it just something that you've always done, and that's why you're eating? And then it becomes mindless eating, right? Because you're not really aware of you're doing it anymore, because it's become as second nature as kind of like brushing your teeth. We don't really think about brushing our teeth. So if it's a habit, we can change a habit. We can replace a habit. So that's what we work on doing. We work on replacing that habit with something else. Whether it's, okay, I had this one client who, hers was Skittles. She would buy like a big bag of Skittles from Walmart and sit and eat the whole bag of Skittles while she's watching shows. And so I said, okay, what about if we start, and it sounded so silly at the time, but if we start on the first week, you're going to take 5 Skittles out of that bag and you're not going to eat them. You're going to eat all the other ones, but you're not going to eat 5. She goes, well, what am I going to do with them? I'm like, you can put them in a jar. You can give them to your husband. It doesn't matter what you do with them. You just can't eat them. And so it was just changing the habit of eating a whole bag of Skittles to slowly reducing it till she's just having a couple Skittles to satisfy that sweet craving that she had. And then we worked to just replacing it with something else that still gave her that evening treat, but it was a better option. And then emotional eating, I think right now we're all emotionally eating because there's just been so much going on that's coming from so many different directions. And it's comforting, right? It's kind of having something that you can control when we have no control of everything else that's going on. And so it becomes really hard to separate the emotion from the eating because we're living it right now. So I would say there's also another type of emotional eating where it's like there's it's a ongoing response to stress or sadness or grief or something that's acute in your life, but you always turn to that. And that is not an area that I deal with at all, because they're not, so I should say, I don't deal with it because I don't have the skill set to deal with emotional eating and all of the layers that it encompasses. But in terms of what we're all dealing with right now, to be honest, I think it's okay. Like if you are stressed about work, business, the environment, kind of what's happening, and you're eating things that either you shouldn't or more of what you shouldn't, it's for a short period of time. We will get through it. And if it means, you know, you come through with an extra 5 pounds, but you're still safe and healthy, then that's the cost of moving through a world pandemic. So that's my take.
No, that's good. My concern also is those that are, when you talk about the worries and the finances, a lot of people too financially don't have the means to be able to purchase or buy the food that they were maybe accustomed to, or having to shift how they feed their families. And so that in itself is on the opposite end a struggle as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And like that's when we talk about how else can you shop and still get good quality foods. So one of the big things, and I do this personally, is I go, well, Farm Boy, they've changed the days, but Farm Boy, for example, would put out their reduced foods on Tuesdays. So you can go and get large quantities of potatoes, carrots, peppers, and everything is $2. And they are in good shape. You know, peppers might have a couple bruises, but you cut them off and you can roast them, you can freeze them and use them for tomato sauces or pasta sauces or spaghetti sauces. So like not being ashamed to take your dollar and stretch it however you can. And that's a really good resource that a lot of people don't consider. But all stores have them, where you just go and you look at what they've got. The bananas, there's so many options in there that you can get for a considerable reduction in price.
Okay, so that's good. So most of the stores have days where they have those items out.
Mm-hmm. Where they put like the fresh crop. Now, if I think of like a Loblaws or a Superstore, they have that out fairly regularly. But Farm Boy, like it's kind of like on the Tuesday and then by Wednesday, Thursday, like it's gone because it's been purchased.
It's having to be creative.
It's having to be creative and making, you know, those meals stretch however you can and being open to trying different foods that may still give you the same nutrients that you haven't had before. Like, say you always bought filet mignon. Like, you can buy other types of steaks and then they're still delicious, but not as expensive.
So when you look at, would you typically then plan it as we're kind of wrapping up, like a week, if you have a family that you're able to do 3 meal plans or 7 meal plans, like how do you break it down?
Personally or for a client?
Both.
For a client, I will do a meal plan for them 7 days at a time with a lot of flex on the weekend, because weekends can be very different than, you know, a Monday to Friday. For us, we have a set meal plan in the sense that Saturday and Sunday, like the kids get to choose what we eat on Saturday. On Sunday, we go to my mom's house. So that's like, I have no impact on what she's cooking other than I say like, okay, we don't want a roast because we had one earlier this week, something like that. But she is 100% responsible for the meal on Sunday. And then the rest of the week, so then we'll plan a week in advance, buying the appropriate foods for the meals that we want.
And you do that for the clients too. It's like, okay, if this is what we're going on, this is what you'll need when you go to grocery shop. This exactly. is a way to, okay. Exactly. This is a way to bulk purchase so that we can have it for next week if we're going to do other stuff that's going to be similar.
Exactly. So we do, so although I give them meal plans for 7 days, we always do a meal plan for a client 2 weeks. So they do the same meal plan 2 weeks in a row. A, it allows for a little bit of familiarity. Especially if something is new, so they'll get a second chance to make it. And then also allows for the bigger purchases, less trips to the grocery store. So in their plan, they can get everything they need. Like I give a checklist of everything they need for those 2 weeks worth of meal plans.
And what do you find from people is the biggest difference for them? Like, what do they come back and say afterwards?
Most people didn't realize or don't realize that they can eat food that is normal that they get in a grocery store that tastes good and is really supportive of their goals. Most of the women I work with, they personally are looking to lose weight to help improve their health. But I also incorporate into their dinner plans because they eat dinner as a family that everybody eats the same meal at dinner. It's usually just, you know, breakfast, lunch, and snacks that are different. So it's the realization that you can have a family meal that still supports your goals. Like you don't have to eat chicken nuggets and fries because you've got kids and you've got a desire to lose weight, right? And then you have to sit and eat a dry ass salad with chicken with no flavor because you've been told that's the way you have to go about losing weight. So the biggest thing is that you can lose weight, A, eating fat, because fat is prominently featured, that things can still be delicious and you don't have to, you literally do not have to spend hours in the kitchen. Like, because I don't have time to spend hours in the kitchen. And so I know my clients don't have time to spend hours in the kitchen. So it's being efficient and effective in the time that we've got to reach the goals that you have.
I love it. Oh, by the way, like that popcorn recipe takes about 3 minutes and then you're going to get a snack for the night. Yes. Where can people go as I'm looking at the time? My God, time always flies by. Where can people go for more information, Mel?
So for more information, you will find me most active on Facebook. And so my business page is Balance Plate Ottawa on Facebook. And my mama's group is called the Balance Mama Method Weight Loss for Busy Moms. So you can find me in either of those places. I'm also on Instagram. Instagram is much more my family. So you'll see lots of pictures of my kids, but I'm on Instagram at Queen Melanie.
Yeah. And then I think too, like the website's really, it's really well laid out. And then you kind of get that understanding too. I mean, we didn't even talk about Pat, although I should mention Pat's done, did my podcast, like one of the, like probably about a year ago. Gosh, I don't even know how long ago that was.
You
know? Yeah. But to realize too, right, you've got a very active, you know, athletic kids, you have a busy husband, like there's a lot that's on the go, but a lot of things can be done. And I'm excited. You know what? Tony usually does the Costco shopping. I do the groceries. He does Costco, but I'm thinking maybe one of these days I actually tag along. I'm going to go see some of those products and some of those ideas that you listed.
Yes. There's so many things. I was just in there 2 weeks ago because Pat's been doing the Costco runs lately. And, a lot of new products have arrived. And so I'm excited to go and log them for this year's Costco, healthy Costco purchases. So stay tuned for something new.
That's good. And I should mention that, like there, it is that article is on your website. So people are looking and want to find more. There's lots of great blog posts there too, that have some really wonderful information attached to them. So Mel, I really appreciate your time today.
You're welcome. And the kids stayed quiet.
I'm impressed with your crew. I really am. I wasn't worried about mine. I was like, I'm impressed with yours. So thank you. Putting the four kids on hold for the hour to go. So hugs to you. Thanks to Pat. Great to be able to see you again. Thank you.
Thanks, Leanne.
And thanks to everyone who's listening. That is another episode of Living Your Life with Leanne Lang. As always, please continue to like and share. Let people know that it's out there. Always guests that are trying to be able to inspire to live healthy, happier, kind of wealthier. Just feel good about the life that you're living. So have a great day, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Looking to make the most out of this life and optimize your personal wellness? Then check out the Natural Man Podcast. Join me, host Mike C, as we explore all areas of human wellness, physical, mental, and emotional. Learn strategies to optimize your own well-being and be in the driver's seat of your own health. Remember, your doctor works for you. Learn biohacks, neurohacks, ways to improve sleep, and ways to optimize your body and your mind. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, The Fountain App, and at naturalmanpodcast.com.